So basically, one thing I really, really want people to believe is that, I think I've said this before, definitely, you know, if you just because you don't look like the people around you doesn't mean you aren't beautiful.
That's Monica Ahanonu, and this is the On Design podcast. Hi, everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the On Design podcast. I'm your host, Justina Green. It's mid-November, everyone. How are you feeling about it? I'm feeling all right, although I did have my meltdown. But now that I had my meltdown, because there was just too much stuff to do, I've promised myself no meetings in December, just starting to slow down a little and not getting distracted from projects I'm already working on. And actually, I've just started working on a new illustration project, which will launch in January. And it is something to do with the room I'm in currently, recording from, which is why you might hear a bit more of an echo than before, because I had to empty the room so that I have access to the walls. That's all I'm going to say for now. There'll be new photography, daily content on Instagram from January as well for this project. And my hope is that it will be something that will light up our days when January hits, and maybe we will feel gloomy or we'll have resolutions that we don't really want to have. But yeah, let's talk about that in January. Today, though, I'm bringing you a fresh new episode with my guest Monica Ahanonu, who's an LA-based illustrator known for her bold, colorful vector works, which celebrate beauty in all its forms. Monica worked with clients including Google, Facebook, Peloton, Time Magazine, and Vanity Fair, among many, many others. And she has such an interesting story, which features professional gymnastics, having surgery on both feet and being in a wheelchair for a period of time, studying animation, getting into DreamWorks, and then deciding that she wants to pursue her own creative path. Without further ado, here's a conversation.
First, I just wanted to say a huge thank you for joining me on the podcast and joining the this season, which is, we have an all-female lineup, which I'm super excited about. Yeah. So when I was curating it and thought I want to speak to female visual artists and creatives, you kind of popped up really quickly. And I don't know if it was Instagram and all the colors or other stuff that you do, but kind of like you were very much kind of front of mind for me. So yeah, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I do love color a lot, so I'm glad that like showed through.
But then you're wearing black.
I know. I thought about that. I was like, I should wear color. But then I figured since this background's so colorful, it would be like too crazy on the eyes. It might be hard.
So I know, hard like, to watch. Yeah.
Yeah. It might be like overwhelmingly confusing. So.
But you also get some creatives that, because their work is so colorful, they actually keep it very muted kind of with what they wear and how they are.
Yeah, I have seen that. It's like they want to spend all their time and focus on like getting the color out in like their work. For me, color, I can't help but wear color usually. Like I have like this black thing and a few others, but it's like it gives me energy. I think that's a lot of big part of it. Like if I have like specific, like if I'm tired or like low energy or like overwhelmed, color is like centering and calming, and like it puts me in like the mood to like get ready, like, you know, go for the day. I guess maybe that's how I see it now that I'm thinking.
You have different colors that you can tell you wear kind of depending if you want to be calm or energetic.
Yeah. I mean, I definitely like wear like lately I've been wearing like lime greens and oranges and like lavender, but like kind of like a really warm lavender, even though, and it's weird, like I feel like gravitating towards lavender recently, even though like purple has always been my favorite color. I didn't buy purple stuff. I know I would always notice that. I just like looking at it. But lately I've been like finding a lot of cool lavender pieces. And it's like, I feel like the really, really warm, like saturated lavender color is like a calm, but like vibrating energy that I like, I guess. I feel like it describes my mood a lot of the times lately. So
that's really nice. Yeah, I love that. Yeah. That there's the calm and the energy. So it's not the all out, bit panicky, bit overwhelmed.
Right. Yeah. So and then there's times when I go through like just like bright orange with bright red and then bright pink all together. I guess it depends. But I think warm colors. I think I wear warmer colors a lot more than cooler colors now that I think about it.
Yeah. It's really interesting because I spoke to some people as well about color blue. And for many, it's very kind of inviting, calming color. Well, for me, it feels really cold.
Yeah. I agree. It feels cold.
And I don't vibe with it. Yeah.
I think like blue is like a color I would wear when I'm trying to be like more simple, like feel more like calm and like just like I'm like in a mood to just be on my own. And like
yeah, exactly. Just do not.
Even if it's like a bright blue, it's still like for me a calm. Yeah, like not as like energetic color. I agree.
Yeah. There's like so much I want to cover with you and of course talk about your work and the love of color. And I thought we could start kind of at the beginning, but you tell me where the beginning is. And did your kind of, what was your upbringing like? And did your kind of your family and how you grew up influence that you pursued visual arts?
Right. So my upbringing, I have three siblings, so that's one thing. Both of my parents, you know, my mom's from Uganda, my dad's from Nigeria, so they both came here to, you know, America for college, and that's where they met. And so I think there's a few things. It's like, you know, having siblings and all of us having our different personalities, my parents, and like all this colorful stuff that they brought, you know, overseas with them when they came to America, and things that my relatives sent us, I think probably influenced me a bit. I was also a gymnast for like 14 years. I think that something with that also definitely plays into like how I think about compositions a lot of the time, because I like to see a composition that looks like it has some kind of movement in it always. And like I like to like see colors like bouncing around the pages if they're doing like some sort of choreography. I always think about that too, I've noticed. But I think my upbringing, I know I was always like creative. It's not something I realized until I got older that I was really creative, until I looked back. But I think my parents always encouraging us to kind of just do whatever we wanted. And I know my dad wanted us all to be doctors. That was one thing. But he, over time, saw that was not going to work for me. Like, I just can't do that in the world. And I was like, I tried to like be like, oh, maybe I'll be a pharmacist. And that's the closest I could get. And I was like, no, I still can't. But I think not having a lot of like rules when we were growing up, I think allowed us to explore a lot, and that I think kind of like brought about my creativity. And having access to computers, definitely, because my dad used to build computers, I think probably that influenced our abilities to be able to explore like digital stuff, which is a lot of what I do now. So that's like a brief thing. Obviously there's more to the life, but that's like the hopefully brief early life. Yeah.
Very concise.
I was like trying to be like concise, hopefully, and still answer the question.
No, that's really good. And tell me, so how, because gymnastics can be so all-consuming, and so how did you manage kind of 14 years of training and kind of that part of your life, and then combine that with the visual side of you?
Right. So, yeah, gymnastics was very intense. And this is something that I kind of realized probably also influenced my art, is that because gymnastics is like, you know, intense and you have to be very precise and focus on every little detail and make everything kind of perfect. When I was doing my art and when I started doing art, I kind of liked to be a little crazier because it was like a kind of contrast with like the really precise focus, like perfect everything and that we had to do in gymnastics. I mean, like growing up, you know, I had gymnastics like 4 hours every day after school, which at the time was like, that's so normal. But now I'm like, how do I do that every day?
Yeah, it's lots.
It's a lot. But I mean, I think, I guess, yeah, balancing it. Like I noticed that I would often just like on the way to competitions or like whenever I wasn't doing gymnastics, I was doing things that were creative. I was like drawing little magazines or like, you know, trying to like make up my own shoe designs. Or I would like, I remember I wrote my own language one time, or just random things, I think, to fill my mind. Cause like also in gymnastics, we weren't usually allowed to talk in practice. We had to stay focused. So I think my mind would just wander a lot when I was there. So that's probably another part of it. I definitely know I was like one of the people who would get like in trouble sometimes for like talking or like telling my friends stories, and my coaches are like, we need to stay focused. And I'm just like making things up and whatever. But did I answer the question? Like you were saying, did it influence my art? You were saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I think it's like what I was
saying.
Yeah.
And how did you manage to do art at the same time as you were doing gymnastics?
So another thing is, like, I didn't really take art classes until I went to college. Like, the art that I did was, like, you know, I was obsessed with Disney Channel, so I would make, like, I learned HTML so I can make a fan site for one of the actor or actresses, things like that, or, like, Photoshop. So, like, I actually had surgery on my feet the summer between 8th and 9th grade, on both my feet. I had, like, extra bones in my feet, and they had to shave them down because it was really painful. So that actually was probably the biggest influence, I forgot to mention. For, like, 2 months, I was in, like, a wheelchair during the summer, and so I couldn't go to practice, obviously. And so to kind of, like, occupy my, like, energy, I started animating, like, gymnastics routines and drawing, you know, gymnastics things kind of to get that energy out. And, like, that's when I kind of really, like, learned Photoshop and stuff like that. And that's definitely probably when I started to get more creative with colors and, like, building those different websites and doing stop motion stuff that I didn't know was stop motion at the time. Because I definitely think, I mean, it is interesting. I think if I didn't have that break when I had surgery, I don't know if I would have, like, ever had that gap of time to play around and, like, learn Photoshop and, like, realize how much I liked doing this artistic stuff, because I never really had that free time. So that's definitely probably the biggest influence that I should have mentioned in the beginning, the surgery, where I, you know, occupied my time by trying to animate my routines because I couldn't do them physically.
But that's really interesting, because that's exactly where your the visual arts and gymnastics are two things kind of when they met. And it's really interesting that you started by animating the gymnastics as well.
Right. Yeah, it was so satisfying to me to, like, make the skills look perfect. I was like, I'm going to make her do a perfect dismount because I can in this program. Like, I remember being so satisfied, like, making it be, like, look perfect. So, yeah.
And it sounds like from early on, your work was digital, or whether it's HTML or Photoshop, which can be an animation, which can be really technical as well.
Yeah, definitely.
So did you find naturally drawn to that type of work versus analog or paint?
Right. Yeah, I definitely was. I don't know why, and I don't know if it's maybe the access to computers, and I just was like, I knew how to use computers so well because of my dad. It was like second nature to me. Like, learning, like, using a computer was just like basically walking to me, so I could experiment with it because I knew how to use it so easily. And I don't know. I wonder why I gravitated towards that, like, versus, like, drawing by hand. Maybe I'm also, I think, a little impatient, so I like to do things quickly and be able to make changes quickly. So maybe that's another part of it that was still inside of me at the time that was the reason it manifested that way. And I think maybe just the tools were right there, having them immediate access to, like, the tools on the computer and not having to think about, like, going to get tools.
Immediate access and being able to make changes quickly as well. Because it is a different type of work. It's a different experience, isn't it?
Right. Yeah.
When you can play quite a lot as well.
Right. Yeah. You can experiment and you can, like, undo and try again and then be like, oh, what if I did this? What if I turn this way? Like, you can really get crazy.
So when did you realize, kind of, was it at that time that you realized that you wanted to pursue visual arts and animation specifically more?
It was when I was getting ready for college and trying to figure out what I wanted to do, like, you know, with my life every day is how I thought about it. And I knew I liked, you know, design, and I knew I liked photography, and I knew I liked creating little digital things, and I liked film. So the animation kind of combined all of those when I, like, you know, saw different majors. And I did, like, apply to, you know, a few different majors at different schools because not every school has animation. And so it was kind of like, you know, some schools I even applied to, like, advertising, because I thought, oh, that would be cool. So it's interesting if I had gotten in different places what I would have done. But I think it was more me thinking, like, what do I want to do every day with my life? And I thought about, like, oh, I would love to, like, be doing with, like, photography or on sets, things like that. Or just being around other creative people. Like, I just found it, I was just so curious about it. I think that was the biggest thing.
And so how did you find the course? So you got on to do animation.
Yeah, so I went to USC. I was in their cinema school and their animation program. And yeah, I mean, I sent them, the work that I sent them when I applied was all the stuff that I had done in my free time, like those little graphics for the websites, the animations that I did of like gymnastics stuff, things that I had done like, you know, in free time because I didn't really take, like I took photography classes, but never drawing classes because I took like one in middle school. But I remember I had a teacher that got upset with me because I think I do like a elephant and I gave it like purple spots and like I made it orange and we were drawing like realistic animals and I was like, hey, this is so cool though. And she did not like it. And so I think I just like didn't take art classes after that. So that's, you know, funny when I think about it now. I'm like, I guess I was like playing around, crazy person. But yeah, I found the animation program, you know, luckily, like I feel like I got very lucky to get in because I just, like, it's like my life could have taken so many different courses if that didn't happen.
Yeah, yeah. And like you say, what would happen if you took advertising?
Right. Yeah. Okay. I'm like, I wonder if I would have ever started creating the art that I do now, because it's like I got a lot of mentors that helped me like go towards what I liked while I was at USC. So it's just, it's very interesting to think about. Like, I don't know. I'm like, what would I be doing?
You know? So tell me more about those mentors. So when you were at the USC, what were you discovering about yourself and how you want to spend your days?
Yeah. So when I was at USC, I discovered that I really liked, you know, design and I liked playing with color. Like I didn't like consciously know that I liked that until I was at USC. You know, I took some like painting classes where we got to mix like paints and our teacher would give us like a square of paint and we had to like match it perfectly by mixing paints. And I remember it being really, really hard, but like then I learned color so well and it like became so fun for me. But the mentors that I had, I got when I started interning at DreamWorks, some of like the production designers and visual development artists, I would like meet with them and bring a list of questions or kind of bring my work and get feedback and then have them give me assignments so I could kind of learn from them. Or I would just like bring a piece of theirs and ask them like, well, where did you start when you did this? Like, what were you thinking when you did this? Like, why did you do that? Like, I would just ask a lot of questions. And I think I just was like, genuinely curious. I didn't really realize like I was learning so much until later on when I was needing to use it. But I had one mentor that I worked with for a long time. His name is Christophe Latrette. And he worked with me on my thesis, you know, like would meet with me every week. And one thing that I think was really helpful was he would always encourage me to do things the way I liked them versus how I thought I had to do them. You know, so sometimes if he saw me like going towards a different direction because I felt like, oh, this is how it's supposed to look if it's going to be an animated thing, he'd be like, but this is also like, which one do you like more? This could also be the finished product in this way. And so like that was super very, very helpful because it helped me be more confident with the way I wanted to do things. Mm-hmm, so it's so mm-hmm. hard to get that out of your head of like, this is how animation looks. You got to draw this way, blah, blah, blah. So it's that. But I mean, yeah, I had so many mentors that taught me different things, but learning color was definitely a big thing I learned when I was in school at USC and learning how much I love color and design and like simplifying things and playing with shapes, building on shapes to make, you know, an image. Yeah, it's, I don't know. There's more like, I know.
There's so much there already.
Yeah, and like there's all these little things that I remember being like, oh, when I look back especially, it's like I have a style that's, it started very simple, like very minimal, but that's also because I didn't know how to draw very well because I didn't take art classes before I got to college. So for me, it was easier to think about the art and simplify it in my head so that I could draw the least amount of lines to make it readable. And that became my style because I just was like, I don't know how to draw it if I add anything else. So I need to make it as simple, but still read.
So that's fantastic because working within constraints.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
creates something different. Like you need to still tell the same story, convey the same message, right. But you're actually making it harder for yourself.
Right. That's what people would always tell me. Like, that's actually the harder way to do it. And I'm like, really? Like, I don't know how to do it the other way. And so I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
But it's good, I guess.
And so for so many people, you know, studying animation and then getting internship at DreamWorks, mm-hmm. many people might think, okay, I'm sorted. I'm just at DreamWorks now for the rest of my life because it's DreamWorks. You know, right. But you had a different idea for yourself.
Yeah.
So when did you start feeling like this is still not quite the path?
I started noticing that probably so when I first started after college, they hired me as a PA. And I at that time, I like did art, but I didn't know if I wanted to be an artist full time, even though when I look back, it's like very clear that like I would not have been able to stay in production. But, you know, after like a year or so, they hired me as an artist, which was incredible. And then after I was working as an artist, which was like, you know, my ultimate goal was to be an artist at DreamWorks, I started to realize that I was doing a lot of freelance stuff outside of work because I like still had all these interests outside of, you know, feature animation. And over time, I started realizing that I wanted to do more of those projects versus what I was doing at the studio, even though like I love the environment, I love being around everyone. That was like my thing that I missed the most. But I think it was just realizing I had all these interests and that I could always come back to feature animation if I wanted to. And I should, while I'm like young, try something different and see if I like it more because I had only done work in animation, you know? So I think it was like, I mean, I was very dramatic in my own way. Like, I know I would tell my friends like that I'm bored of seeing the same walls every day, like things like that. And they'd be like, you're fine. I'm like, I see these walls every day. I need a change in my life. But I think that was just me wanting to like, yeah, have more variety in like my everyday life, which is what I like that I have now, is the variety.
Yeah, so tell me more about, so you've left DreamWorks to essentially go freelance.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And kind of you haven't looked back since?
Right, yeah, I haven't worked full time there since at all. And I think, I guess I just really like I like doing also, so when I was at DreamWorks, I was also doing motion graphics. That was another thing. I was doing title sequences and things like that primarily. That was my department. So I like doing more of like the still art stuff that I do now. And I also like doing my own style. Like I love using crazy colors and making things look like not so realistic sometimes, especially like with the outfits. And so I think that's another reason is like I was doing a lot of assignments that are like veered more towards that and also veered more towards still art in my style. Whereas, you know, when you're working at the studios, you're almost always working on a style that has been set by, you know, the production design or whatever, and you follow it for the film. So I think that's part of why I've stayed freelance, is because unless they're going to do a film that's in my style, I'm not the best option for them to use. But yeah, I haven't gone back to doing that. I've thought about it, like in terms of like, you know, yeah, being able to incorporate my style somehow into a film. But I don't think I would want to do it again where I follow another style, because that is so much harder for me to do and not as enjoyable, I guess. I mean, everybody obviously wants to just do whatever they want. And so I don't want to do anything that's not what I want. But I think that's part of it. I miss the like environment. I miss like being around everyone. It was like my favorite thing because everyone was so wonderful. And it's like, it didn't even feel like going to work when I would go to work every day. It just was like,
apart from the same walls every day.
It's far from the same walls. I'd be like, why are we at these walls again? But it just like, it's like, it didn't feel like a job. It was weird. I just remember thinking back. It's like, it was never like, oh, I have to go to work today. It was like, oh, I need to go get my stuff done. But like, I have to go there to do it. I don't know. It was so interesting. But I just like, people were so great. So it's like, it felt like I was just like, I don't even know. Like a family, but like, is that the right word? I don't even know. But yeah.
And you've mentioned now wanting to do things in your style, mm-hmm. and not wanting to follow somebody else's style. Mm-hmm. So for the listeners who are listening to it only, can you tell them more about your style and things that you love to portray the most?
Mm-hmm. So my style, I would describe it as, it's very bold, very colorful and vibrant. But the vibrant colors, I feel like I like to use colors that don't normally go together, but by playing around with like how warm or cool those colors are, it makes them feel like they work together really nicely. I use a lot of shapes to build up my style. So it's very, you know, there's a lot of angles or like, I think just shapes, because now I've been using.
Do you use Illustrator or Photoshop?
I use Photoshop. I used to use Illustrator. I mean, I use both, but because I like to add texture and like just do the clipping mask, and it's a lot faster in Photoshop, and I use a lot of like object layers. to do my lighting. I do everything in Photoshop now, but I use the pen tool. So I use the pen tool for everything. So everything that I make, it's like build it up with shapes, every little detail. It's like, you know, if I was going to draw these earrings, like all the little rhinestones would be their own shape that I would draw with the pen tool and build them up with the different colors to make them shine the right way. Did I answer the question? I don't remember the question.
So the style, colorful shapes. Yes. And the next question was really about the subject matter of your works. Because I know you talk about how important learning about different cultures and backgrounds is for you for the work. And about, you talk about beauty quite a lot as well. Yeah. So if you could tell us more about what you love to portray most and what you love to communicate or for people to see in your work.
So I definitely love to... So basically one thing I really, really want people to believe is that, I think I've said this before, definitely, you know, if you, just because you don't look like the people around you doesn't mean you aren't beautiful. And I think that's become so like not the norm of what people think, because like on Instagram, you see like such similar people trying to all look the same. And so I definitely like, I get really excited when I see someone's face that's like so unique and they're just fully doing their thing. And they just like are so, it just like, it's so cool to me to see different faces. So I get really excited when I see somebody who has such their own look, and it makes me want to draw them, because it just kind of is like, maybe, I guess to me, it's like a reminder of people, like, just look at all these types of beauty. Like, you don't have to look this way to be beautiful. Like, it's like, it's so cool to look like your own person, is how I think about it. So that's definitely one thing that like I want people to understand. And also that's like one thing I like to draw the most, is like unique faces. But I also like drawing things in fashion. I like crazy clothes, and like I like seeing new silhouettes, so I can like, you know, mix and match, which kind of is like their own little character for the day. So I also want to encourage people to wear more color, because I, even though I'm not wearing color today, I think it's fun to like mix and match color. It's like you get to play, and I feel like when we were kids, we all did that. We would play kind of, you know, maybe not everyone as much as me with their outfits, but I feel like it's like this thing that people don't do, or maybe they don't even realize they like it because they don't think that they can or that they can do it. So I'm just like,
yeah, I think norms can be really like fashion norms can be really, really constraining.
Yeah, and especially obviously where you live. Like we live in LA, you know, I don't know if you live in LA, but I live in LA.
London.
Oh, you're in London. Okay. I can remember. Oh, that's so cool. I love London. I forget how, you know, being like in London, LA, New York, places like that, we're so lucky, because like I can wear like crazy things to go to like the grocery store and people don't care. Like, it's not like people are going to be like, why, what are you doing? Or like staring at me. But like, I'll wear like this dress, actually this plain black dress I was wearing in Tucson, which is where I grew up. And I remember someone being like, why are you so dressed up? And like, to me, this is like what I just layer on in the house. And so it was, it's like, we're very lucky, I guess, to live in certain places that allow you to be able to wear whatever you want kind of, and not even think twice about it. It's like, so I think it's also very hard for people who live in different places, because people, they don't have opportunities to dress up, and it's also so different, and like they don't have as many reasons to wear those things. But you know, if you like it and if it makes you excited, that's why I like to wear crazy clothes, because I just like, I see it all, and it's like once I put together a fun outfit, I get so satisfied. And it just like, after that, like I wear it, but like me seeing it finished, the finished piece almost is how I think of it, is what makes me so excited.
Because again, you're designing again, really.
Yeah, right? I'm creating something, right? Yeah, exactly. So it's like, right, it's like putting the other piece and then it's done, and then okay, on to the next one or whatever.
And so with your, so outfits and your works, they're full of color and energy. And I've noticed that even if your subject matter is quite serious, you still use color to communicate. And is that something that, how do you feel about it? Do you feel like you, color can be used to communicate kind of from positive to sad stories? Or would you change your color palette depending on the stories you tell?
So I think it depends on, like when you were saying kind of right now, you know, you can use a color to tell a story. Like I have like all these thoughts in my head. I'm trying to figure out how to start it. So basically one thing I was thinking about is, you know, something that's really sad. I might draw it with a lot of color because my mindset is like, you know, someone passed away, but we're celebrating all that they did and who they were when they were alive. And it just like, I want to encapsulate what they were when they were alive. And so people can remember that part of like that version of them.
Yeah.
Instead of focusing on like how sad it is. I mean, obviously it's very sad that someone's gone, but don't you want to remember the life that they had and like what they were giving to the world? So that's how I think about it. I think when I use a lot of color and things that might be more serious, it's like something like that's where my mind, I think, immediately goes. Is like I think about what this person was doing or who this, you know, what energy they gave off to the world or what mark they left. And then the other thing is I was thinking about, you know, I don't think I've done this, but like in films, like I think it's cool. I don't know if, I mean, I'm sure there's films that have done this, but like it would be cool, I think, to me to almost play reverse roles and trick the mind, because the mind's used to seeing bright, colorful, pretty is a positive, whatever happy land of the film, and then the dark, you know, desaturated is like the scary part of the film. But what if we switch those and like the happier parts of the film were the desaturated parts and the pot, you know, the and the scary intense parts were the really vibrant parts. Like it's like things like that that I think is that makes color so fun. You can like play around in that way. It almost like I don't know if it's like tricking the mind. I don't know what the wording is, but it's just like,
well, it makes you stop, doesn't it? And kind of think twice.
Yeah.
And
yeah, right. Exactly. And it's just like doing things that not the way that you feel like they have to be done, because that's how it usually is done. Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. And I've recently noticed, I think on your Instagram, that now, and tell me more about it, if it's just, it was a quick thing or kind of you're thinking about it.
Uh-huh.
You start to, is it crayons? Like just make some analog work with some fabrics. Right.
Yeah.
Very different to the your main body of work.
Right. Yeah. I've been using like oil pastels and things like that. And then I went to like this fabric store and bought a ton of fabrics and been like playing around with that. Cause I realized I was starting to get like I wasn't like staying inspired by just doing the same stuff that I do on the computer. And I was trying to figure out why. Cause I'm like, oh, it's still like the bright colors, but I think changing the medium and doing something that was so like not, I couldn't make it as perfect as I want to, because obviously on the computer I can edit so quick, like so much. It was like calming and relaxing for me to do something where I couldn't make it perfect. And I also had to figure out a new process of like what colors I do first, depending on how they're going to blend together with the oil pastels or mess up another color. So it was more just like me like trying to like not feel like I had to make things so perfect and be okay with like messing things up and then working with what has been messed up to make it still work in the end.
Yeah, and how did it feel?
I mean, I've liked it a lot. I'm still learning. I want to do more. I was thinking about that earlier. But I mean, I really, it's like so fun. It's so fun to do something like different and like it's see these different pieces. And it makes me want to do more things like that. And like, I'll start getting ideas as I'm like just walking around. I'm like, oh, I wonder if I can incorporate like this random thing I saw in a store into an art piece that I make. You know, like I like seeing texture. So I think that's another thing that's really fun. It's like seeing texture. And then, you know, the fabrics that I'm mixing, it's almost like another way for me to play with like making up outfits, because I get to like mix patterns together, et cetera.
Yeah.
And maybe it's like, you know, maybe one day I'll make clothes or something. I'm not sure for sure, because that's a whole another world that I have to like really learn. But maybe this is a step in that world of playing with pattern, like, you know, fabric.
Yeah, because you can design patterns for sure, right? That's kind of, yeah. I find it, or I see it as a kind of halfway step, that you're not...
Right.
Learning to make clothes and everything that comes with
it. That's the next thing, right?
Yeah.
And so maybe it's this other thing that I really enjoy that I didn't know because I hadn't fully dove into it. So that's, I think I'm trying to expand my creativity and not limit it to like, oh, this is what you do with your art. Like maybe there's other ways you can still be Monica, but it can go into other worlds. Yeah. So that's
and I've you've been it. Talking about, you know, we've been talking about different people and looking at different faces for inspiration, about textures. You've just mentioned kind of going to the store and seeing if you can incorporate something.
Mm-hmm.
And so I wonder, how did you find kind of the past year and a half?
Right.
And everything that it brought? How has it affected you personally or your work? And has it changed kind of what you want to do next?
I think it's changed in that I definitely have wanted to do more things like the, you know, the playing around with physical things, I think because I was on my computer so much this last year, like fully, nothing like non-computer. And I think that's one reason why I started to get like, you know, a little go crazy with just like my style. Being like, I need to do something new. I've been like, I need something different that's so different that it gives me that energy again. So this last year definitely was, I mean, I definitely grew a lot in this last year, which was really, really wonderful. And I learned a lot.
That's amazing.
About staying organized and things like that, and just had some fun projects. But it also, I guess, helped me realize, like, I want to do more things that are like tangible products with my art and like see things out physically in the world, with my work versus just staying it, you know, on the screen. I'm like, was on the screen for this last year over and over. I want to see things come off the screen in like the physical world more.
Definitely. And are there any things you're working on now that are coming off the screen, or do you have kind of dream projects in your mind that you'd love to do?
A little bit of both. Yeah, there's some things that I'm working on right now. Like I'm doing something with Toms for like shoes, which will come out next year. And then this is like a other thing is like a personal project. I'm doing like these figurines that I'm creating that eventually I want to like, you know, sell so people can collect. And I have like a design and we would, you know, have the different versions of that that will come out. So I'm just like working on getting that together so I can see a physical version and then go from there, and not wait on it. But I'm like trying to think of the products that I like can talk about that makes sense.
You probably in your head you need to go through. Yeah. Oh, this is really cool, but I can't talk about it.
Right. Yeah. So it's like there's definitely a lot of like things that are coming out like physically, which is really cool. I'm working on another book, the Icons book.
Yes.
So I have the Bold Woman book that comes out in January, I believe, end of January. And then I have another book that will come out towards the like June, around June. So that June book is, we just started working on that. But the one in January also, we finished that during quarantine and it was, I really love it. I'm excited, I'm super excited for people to see it.
So tell us more about the book.
So the one coming out in January is Bold Words from Black Women. And that one is more like quotes by different Black women in history. And I love this book because each spread is different entirely. Like, you know, I got to do like full page spreads and make each page representative of the person, like just like, you know, bringing their energy and putting it on a page, depending on, you know, just who they are, what they did or what quote we're using. And so I won't say too much, but I mean, just like I got to play a lot more with color and scale, I would say, in this book, which I'm really excited about. Because it's something like basically the way that I've done this book was the way I've always wanted to do a book if I did my own book, and I probably will do more like it. But this was like the first step of like doing a book that is so wild because I have this vision one day. I want to do a book where each page isn't even like the same shape. Like it doesn't have to be just like, you know, square the edges, like it all fit inside of whatever the cover is, but I want the pages to all have their own unique shapes. So this was like a start of that. You know, we don't do that, but like the way that the spreads are all different is like the first step of like learning that, you know.
And in your dream book with different shapes, what would you want the book to be about?
That one would probably incorporate faces and fashion. Like it would be, definitely there would be some fashion element to it. But it would also be like different iconic people in history, probably something along those lines, I would say. Because I definitely would have people in it. I'm not sure if it would be just like, I mean, maybe it would just be a book of my art, you know, and I'd get to like just create a bunch of wild art. And it's almost like the book is like its own collection, like how designers come up with their clothing collection. The book is its own little collection. And that's that one book. That would be, you know.
Yeah, and you design all of it. You design how it feels, right?
With the book
format and everything inside it.
Right, exactly. So I get to design every little detail, and it's like, you know, even like the edges of the pages when they're all pressed together, like that would be another thing to like think about for, you know, design, because there's all these things that you can do. So
yeah, and so that's the Bold Words are coming out in January, and then mid next year. Tell me more about the second Icons book as well.
Yeah, so the second Icons book, I think they've announced some of it. Like I think they have something online about it, maybe, hopefully, but it's going to be the second edition, and this one will be also primarily Black women that we're going to be focusing on throughout history. And so it's kind of like, you know, pulling some from the first book, but, you know, changing some of the portraits and then adding new portraits and having it all focus on Black women. And so I'm excited to do that again because I really like the way the first one came out, and it's just like such a perfect size, you know, for like a little gift and stuff. So it'll be cool. And, you know, I think that'll also turn into some others that we want to continue on with, you know,
and down the line. You've got, you know, those two books. We have the, you know, the figurines you're working. We have the products you're working on as well. So it sounds really busy. And we're kind of slowly wrapping up. And so one of my questions was, you know, being a freelance illustrator, you're also your own business person. And I was wondering, what did you find most helpful kind of in running your own business, or if you have any tips for people to kind of to balance the creative side with the business side, maybe?
Yeah, I'm trying to get better at the balance. I'm still like, I don't like doing the businessy stuff and I'm trying to learn it better. But I think like one thing that was hard in the beginning was like learning how to negotiate for yourself. I'm having to do that less and less now because I have, you know, a team that I've just signed with. But I know one thing that helped me when I learned is just, you know, try to get the other person's budget before you give your budget, because, you know, I think the first time that I ever did that, or that kind of happened to me on accident, I realized how low I was going to be pitching myself for what budget they had. And so I, you know, try to figure out their budget before I give mine so that I can get a sense of also like, okay, well, what can I do with that budget? Because I could be able to give them, you know, a lot more with this budget. Or if they have a really lower budget, you know, you can commit to like less because, you know, this is how much time I have if this is the budget. So I think telling people to think about things like that. I also would say, I mean, talk to your friends. Like, I have like a very diverse friend group, I would say. And everyone is like, most of my friends aren't artists, which is interesting. And so I think learning from them and how they stay organized, or even them just like giving me tips or sending me like how to keep my list together, or even just like tax stuff. It's been helpful. So I think those things, I mean, just meet with people, ask a lot of questions. But yeah, the negotiating one is definitely the hardest, I think, in the beginning. I'm lucky because I was a PA, and so organizing my files, I still use the same organization system that I used when I was at DreamWorks, because that's just like the only way I can stay organized. So maybe just like also have a file organization system that you use, and every time you start a new project, you do that, because that's what I do. Every time I start a new project, I have my files, the folders are the same, and you know, you just do it that way. Yeah
sounds like exactly the kind of stuff that goes behind the scenes that makes everything really smoothly.
Right, exactly. I'm like, if I didn't have that, I don't even know, I would lose things so much in my computer for sure.
And so to wrap up our chat, I was just wondering, we've talked about the projects you're working on, and so I wanted just to see, what would your dream project be?
Sorry.
Oh, that's all right. We've been talking for a long time now.
Right. This cough will be gone soon, hopefully.
Yes. Yeah, so projects you'd love to work on, have the dream projects, and how would you like to develop kind of in the coming months and years?
Right. Dream projects, I mean, I definitely would love to design like a capsule collection for, you know, big fashion designer at some point in the future. But also just work with, like, you know, having like my own bag from like Gucci, and I pick the colors, you know, and it's like specific colors that I put together. And that's my like limited edition bag. Like, I think that's like a dream project, something along those lines. In the coming months, I think like I was saying, I want to make a lot more tangible things, like physical things. And so that's something I'm working on doing, and also being more in the world of fashion. So I just signed with IMG, which is really amazing because they just like, that's their world is fashion. And so I'm learning a lot from them and getting some experience and, you know, going to Fashion Week and, you know, being able to like see the collections and kind of like interpret them in my art, to, you know, help promote the different products is another thing that I really want to do soon. So that's kind of also another goal that's planning to come up. But it's like those kind of things, definitely.
Yeah, perfect. So we're very, very much fashion oriented.
Yeah, definitely fashion oriented. I'm still open to other things because I like having variety, but I know that I'll always still like, my body will veer towards fashion because it seems to be always doing that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's really amazing. And I can't wait to see the books and then see where are you heading, kind of, you know, what's next, and see you at various fashion shows as well.
Yeah, oh my gosh, there'll be so much fun stuff. I'm excited, definitely excited.
Well, thank you so much, Monica, for your time, and I hope you get better as well.
thank you, same. It's time. I like still can't believe I'm still sick, but I don't feel too bad. It's just the cough that sounds crazy, so gotta stay alone for, you know, as long as possible till it's gone. But thank you for having me. I really, really appreciate it.
What a brilliant conversation with Monica. I really appreciate her being open, sharing top tips for all of us working for ourselves, and also sharing with us her dreams of really expanding into fashion. I can totally see it happening, and I really hope it all goes to plan for her. And I think what I've learned from my conversation as well is that Monica very much followed her own path with ups and downs and successes, and she worked very hard on defining it and really creating her own definition of success. And I think it's so key to listen to our intuition and follow our heart, because as we are, it is the what makes us unique in terms of our creative output. You know, our lives, our thoughts, our emotions. And rather than following ideas of others, I think we can fully trust that our lives as they are present the perfect canvas for our creative pursuits. Right. That's a little philosophical thought to finish this podcast episode with. But I really believe that, you know, and even when I work kind of on my illustrations, and because I'm starting out, I would look at others and think, oh, I should do something more like this or more like that. And whenever I've created something that's really personal, suddenly that's the thing that resonates most with people. So I think, you know, I'm learning as I go as well. So it was nice to hear from Monica too about kind of creating the kind of her own path. And I thought, okay, yeah, I'll just keep going. Yeah, and that's that for today. Thank you so much for listening this week. And to support the podcast, you can share the episode on your Instagram stories and rate and review it within your podcast app. That way you can really help others find the podcast, and I'd really appreciate your support. And if you want to keep in touch, of course, subscribe to the pod and also follow me on Instagram at Justina Green. Right. Next week, in the next week's episode, we're off to San Francisco, and I'll see you there.